So the first reading today is from the Acts. It can be found on page 1093 if you're looking in the church Bibles. So it's Acts chapter 2, first verses 1 to 4, and then straight into verses 12 to 16. So that's page 1093. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." This is the word of the Lord.
And now let's stand up for the gospel reading.
The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 1042 in the church Bibles. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Christ. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please sit down. Have we retrieved all the wet ones who are now dry? Yes, excellent. I think we've got everybody back. We're worshipping together this morning at a time of extraordinary turmoil and churn in the life of our nation and in the world. And of course, our church is not immune from that. Those who are going to be confirmed this morning are taking this step at a particular time in history. We're right at the beginning of the reign of a new monarch. We're in the early stages of another new government in our country. And our country has got extraordinary economic and social challenges to deal with, which that government's going to have to get a grip on. We are here at a time of war in Europe, of famine in the Horn of Africa, of catastrophic flooding in Pakistan and Nigeria, and I have to say some pessimism about the prospects of the COP27 climate conference, which begins today in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt. A lot of us are very concerned about energy prices and the cost of living. It's a time which feels unstable and a bit dangerous, and which can cause anxiety even in the most stout-hearted among us. But here, in the order and beauty and vibrancy of this beautiful Grade One church, in the colour and the music and the excitement of new Christians coming to baptism and confirmation, we're seeking an anchor point. We're seeking a still centre as these winds buffet us from all directions. We're seeking the anchor point of belief in the good news of God's eternal love and care for us, a still centre in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder how you all, you confirmands, came to be arriving at this moment. I wonder why you're sitting here waiting to be confirmed. I don't know you. Others here will know your story in quite a lot of detail, I expect. Only you know in your hearts what's really brought you here. For some of you, this journey this morning started with baptism, and that's an amazing moment, the splashing of water over your head and over your whole body, and the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You went into the water, you went in one person, you came out a new person. You others might have been very young when this happened, and you may not remember it. Some of you, I know, aren't certain if it happened or not. But something very powerful happens to us in baptism. In baptism, God makes a commitment to love us, to forgive us, to walk with us wherever life's journey takes us, to give us his Holy Spirit to guide us in our Christian living, and to give us eternal life. Those are extraordinary, mind-blowing promises. And this commitment that God makes to us in baptism is absolute and total. It's not the same kind of thing as the sort of promises that we sometimes make to each other, which can be easily broken or forgotten. God never breaks God's promise. God keeps this promise, even though there are times when we may disregard it or ignore it, or just not recognize the love that God has for us. So you've been baptized. But you're probably also here because God has put into your lives people who've helped you to get to this day. There may be role models, people you never knew personally but kind of admire from a distance, somebody like the late Queen, for example. There may be people who are close to you. They come in all shapes and sizes, parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, godparents, friends, clergy, and other people from your lives who have helped you to grow in your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Most of us at some time have had people in our lives who've helped us to grow in faith and have been there for us when we've wobbled, been there for us through the difficulties and the joys of life's journey. There are people who have perhaps nudged us and steered us and challenged us and been an example and a guide. I was challenged as a young woman in my 20s by my own godmother. I had drifted away from the church for 10 years. I hadn't believed in Jesus Christ. I don't think I'd ever quite lost my belief in God, but I couldn't quite swallow the whole Jesus bit, and it just seemed extraordinary to me. And then my favorite cousin had a baby, and she asked me to be that child's godmother. And I was so delighted because I wanted to be special in the life of that child. And my own godmother challenged me and said, "You're saying yes to something that you say you don't believe. What's that about?" It's a very gentle challenge. And it sent me, I was at university at the time, straight off to see the university chaplain. And we talked for 9 months. And over that period of time, I came to realize that actually I did believe in Jesus Christ. So that challenge, that gentle challenge, was really important in my life, and I know how important it can be in the lives of all of us. Within you, candidates for confirmation, there's been a change of some sort. There's been a movement. There's been an acceptance or a willingness to believe the truth of this extraordinary story of God's revelation to humankind in coming among us as a child, walking, talking, weeping, laughing, loving, teaching, wondering, attracting, challenging, and in the end, being betrayed and accused and flogged and tried and condemned and executed and buried. And in a glorious final act, rising from death to life and returning to the outside of time, leaving his Holy Spirit with us. And the result of all of that is that you are here now in this moment, and you're ready to say for yourself what you believe about God and about your desire to grow as a follower of Jesus Christ. You're ready to say that you will rely on God and trust in God, and that you'll let Jesus Christ be the guiding force in your life. And we are all here this morning with you, recognizing and celebrating that, celebrating God's love and God's grace that's brought you to this place. Now, following Jesus, I'm going to level with you, is not the easiest thing in the world to do. We all need help, and the help comes from the Holy Spirit. We heard that reading from the book of Acts. We heard how before he leaves them and goes to be with the Father, Jesus promises his followers that they will be baptized again, this time with the Holy Spirit. Now, they probably don't have any idea what he's talking about at the time. They're pretty bemused by it. They don't understand it, but they nevertheless obey what he says. They go back to Jerusalem and they wait. And what happened next is what we heard described in that reading. There was a rush, a violent wind, and the whole house was filled with what looked like tongues of flame, and each person there felt an inrush of power and presence and were able to speak in new languages. The Holy Spirit had come into their lives and had opened their eyes and had enabled their speech. And then they not only understood what Jesus taught, but they were connected to him. They were so connected that they wanted to be like Jesus in every way. And as they became more and more like Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, the more they were filled with joy. Today is all about the Holy Spirit coming fresh into your lives, and I hope coming fresh into the lives of all of us. You may not hear the sound of rushing wind. You may not see flames. You may do, I don't know. But when I lay my hands on your head, something will change, and you will be connected with Jesus Christ in a new way. The Holy Spirit filled the apostles with so much joy and courage that they were no longer afraid to speak about Jesus in public. They went out and they started preaching the gospel, and thousands of people came to believe in Jesus. Nothing and no one could stop them. Not persecution, not torture, not death. The word went out with extraordinary power through human courage and in spite of human frailty. The power of the Holy Spirit was with them. And from their beginnings, that day in Jerusalem, today, we are about 2.2 billion Christians in the world. That's about a third of the world's population. And we Christians are in every continent and country on earth, and we're all signed up to following Jesus Christ. That's an extraordinary thought. And what's extraordinary for us to realize is that this is not a minority fringe interest. It's a huge and glorious and powerful worldwide movement. So let us not be afraid or timid or reticent about it. Now, how do we do this? How do we live this life that we are called to? Well, in the Gospels, Jesus tells us how to be his people. He says, "Follow me." So let's keep close to Jesus. That means talking to him and listening to him, and we call that prayer. We had that wonderful reading from Luke's Gospel when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. So pray as you can, not as you can't, is my advice. Don't worry if your prayer changes over the course of your life. Mine has changed many times. You need to pray in the way that you feel led and trust in the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as bad prayer. There's just the babblings of our hearts, and God is so pleased to receive them. So don't give up on prayer, even if at times it starts to feel a bit dry and a bit difficult. Just keep on doing it. The second bit of that reading was all about persistence. We need to carry on carrying on in prayer. We need to trust that God will give us what we need when we pray. Jesus says, "Trust me." However difficult things may look, we will find a way through because Jesus is with us. We need to trust him. He says, love God. Let's never forget the one who created us and who loves us to the point of death and who forgives us and who never leaves us. He said, love and serve one another. Every single person on earth is precious to God. And as followers of Jesus, we recognize that and we love them as dear brothers and sisters and we want the best for them. And that's even when we dislike them or disagree with them, or occasionally are disgusted by them, even more then. We need to love and serve one another. And of course, we see Christians doing this all around us. We see it in the kindness of strangers. We see it in the care of the sick and the dying. We see it in shelter and refuge for those in need. We see it in food for the hungry and comfort for those who are anxious or in trouble. We are called because God loves us, and we are called out of God's love to love and care for one another. Now, like all of us, you will probably mess up. I know that, probably more than anybody. It's not always easy living our lives in the way of Jesus. We all get it wrong. We all have a huge capacity to get it wrong, and we may be tempted to give up. You may find yourself thinking that worship, church, is a waste of time, that you can't spare the time, that there are other demands on your time. You may find yourself, at times in your lives, stretched in many directions of all sorts as things pull you away from Jesus Christ. And you may find that you're drawn towards things which aren't aligned with God's kingdom. Whatever the future brings, however much you don't manage to be the person that God wants you to be, one thing that we can be absolutely sure of is that God's love for you will never stop and never change. God cannot possibly love you more nor less than God loves you now in this moment. And just like a good parent, like the best kind of friend, God will always be there to help you and forgive you. And every time that you turn to him, you will know that he is saying to you, don't be afraid. I love you. I'm with you wherever you go. Now, you may not yet fully know what God has got in mind for your life, or you may have already discovered it, but each of us does have a vocation. That means a way of living out our lives so that the kingdom of God grows. You might be called to tell people about Jesus Christ with joy and with courage. You might be called to love one person for the rest of your life and maybe have a family. You may be called to do a certain kind of work in which you can show God's love in everything that you do. And there are opportunities everywhere in your life, within your college, your workplace, in the places you play and laugh and socialize, opportunities to show people what you believe by the way that you are. And sometimes, just sometimes, people may ask you why you're a person who seems to listen, who seems to care and love and forgive, and then you can tell them. And maybe you will be one of those people who others will remember and think about when they themselves come to be confirmed. So what I'd say to you is keep looking, keep listening, Keep trusting in the God who loves you and journeys with you. And may his blessing be upon each one of you today. Amen.